Brendan Mullen joins us now. He's from Secha Capital, a impact investing firm. And your biggest business, Brendan, is a company called Stoffelberg Biltong, your biggest operating business. Now, this is an interesting situation because we've heard before in the program today about the township economy and the informal economy and how they've been hit by the lockdown. But in I guess, more formal businesses, but still small businesses, the impact here has also been pretty difficult, and it's primarily on working capital. Just take us through what's been going on at Stoffelberg.
Sure, of course. And thank you so much, Alec, for including me on this call. As you mentioned, Secha Capital invests in small and medium enterprises, right? Small but growing businesses. And in this environment, the fact that these local businesses that, you know, Stoffelberg makes meat, you know, Rush Nutrition makes energy bars, they're more important than ever based on the local supply chain. But the issue, you know, that you're addressing there is with the informal economy has actually parallels with the companies that we're seeing in the SME market. And I think it's actually worth taking a step back. You know, I worked at a hedge fund in 2009, you know, the last kind of great financial crisis. And I think borrowing from that, you know, the term generals always fight the last war, right? The last war was top down. It was Wall Street and how it affected Main Street. And what I haven't heard a lot of people talk about is that this war is actually bottom up, and it starts with Main Street. And with Main Street, what you need is not necessarily you know, big government injections of cash. It's actually, you know, that's crucial, but it's not sufficient. What you need help with is that working capital. If you're going to stay working, as Stoffelberg Biltong is, you know, they can shut down some fixed costs. They've closed some of the smaller retail shops, but you want to still make this kind of fast-moving consumer product. You need that working capital. And if customers are not paying, or, you know, lines of credit aren't extended, it gets stuck in the system. And that is calamitous for, you know, the 75,000 SMEs that are 60% of the South African labor force. That's, you know, almost a half of the GDP. And I you know, that's what we want to focus on today. There's some great ideas in place. But what's crucial in this is that this is different than 2009. This has to be, you know, lines of credit extended very quickly to keep that working capital, keep the economy moving.
Has the Reserve Bank moved in the right direction with the announcement last week about quantitative easing and putting money into the system, a little bit like, well, on a miniature scale of what the US Fed is doing?
Yes, yeah. So moving in the right direction. But I think what we found, you know, again, with 10 years ago, it was going to take a little while to trickle down. Since we're starting at the bottom here, since we're starting at, you know, the basic, you know, spaza shops, or in case of Stoffelberg, place where you get your biltong, your meat, the meat that's on the shelves at spar stores, at click stores, you need to act quickly. And that is, you know, being a little bit more innovative. Maybe that means government guaranteeing lines of credit, you know, major invoice discounters getting government guarantees. You need to get that capital into the system. Otherwise, things will slowly but surely shut down because everybody's getting tight. And when it gets tight, the SMEs are the first ones to be affected. And when there's uncertainty, it's very difficult to, you know, to pay your full bill, you know, when you owe, you know, the Stoffelberg some money. And then if Stoffelberg doesn't get money from their customers, it's difficult to then go buy the carcasses and the primals as inputs to turn into, you know, meat for you to consume on your dinner table tonight.
So where does the problem begin? In just use Stoffelberg as an example, where would it start that would actually create a working capital problem for your business?
Sure. So Stoffelberg has been growing 20-25% month over month over the last 2.5 years, right? So that cash that it has been generating is not on the balance sheet. It's as part of working capital. It's, you know, paying for the inputs. It's extended to their customers throughout this country. So unfortunately, where it started was one of our primary customers who makes up a third of our revenue. And yes, that's absolutely a risk that, you know, that we saw coming. You know, that in it's a major risk to have such a major customer as part of your percentage of revenue. But they've delayed their payments by a week or two. They still don't know. And where did that start? Well, some of their smaller customers are trying to hold on to cash, you know, as you can understand, and that just goes through with the system. So as I mentioned, it's kind of from the bottom up. You know, if the payments of our major customers, of our wholesale customers, are slowing down, even if they will come, but 2 weeks, you know, we need to go buy that meat, we need to dry it, we need to ship it out to get on the shelves of Spar, of Pick and Pay. So that's where it happens. That's when, you know, that the rotation of the economy starts to slow down.
How do you fix
that? And that's why we need to act with some quick, well, with speed. I mean, it's a distribution issue and it's a speed issue, right? It's not easy. And again, I would say I'm really impressed with the leadership of President Ramaphosa and a lot of the ideas in place, but it's just happening too slowly. This is when public and private need to work together. You know, I think back to 2009, and that's actually one of the reasons that inspired Rashil Vallabh and I to start Set Your Capital, because capitalism, when done best, can be the greatest catalyst for growth and innovation. And, you know, finance made some mistakes leading up to 2009, but it also, when you acted quickly, you could fix it. So I think here what we need is some government guarantees on major lenders, lower rates, 12-month cheap credit done quickly to growing businesses. That's the only way you can get it out there. Mm-hmm. I think the focusing on salaries and rent, yes, that's crucial, but you can just shut down your business if you have kind of a, or some people can't. I don't want to be dismissive. With some of our portfolio companies, it's been a little bit easier for them to kind of shut down and wait. But if you provide an essential product like Stoffelberg Biltong, like Rush Nutrition, and you want to keep going, you need that working capital to continue flowing throughout the economy.
So what role do banks play in all of this? The critical role?
Crucial. I'm sorry?
The critical role?
You know, we have a line of credit with a major bank, and they're working from home, and they're not taking any major meetings. So they can't, you know, they're slow to extend us additional credit. So I do think a lot of people have been caught, you know, surprised by this, as the entire world has, which is totally fair. But this is where people need to get together, the banks and even, you know, other invoice discounters. Now is not the time to be, you know, pulling back capital. You know, we need to be extending these lines faster and with some confidence. And so the banks are crucial. I think the banks could, you know, are big enough to come in, you know, as we've seen some leadership from the major banks do. And then with, you know, would be helpful to have a guarantee from government that, yes, we, you know, if there's an invoice that even if it's a small, you know, if it's not Clicks, but it's a small distributor in Cape Town, we can guarantee that, because we know that the economy will get back to moving sooner rather than later. I mean, that's what we need for, like, when you ask specifically with Stoffelberg Biltong, as we're trying to make sure that we can feed thousands of people, you know, on a daily basis, that's what we need. We need the money to come in so we can turn that into more Biltong and sell it off into, you know, off, you know, into every, you know, almost, you know, every LSM available in this country. You know, everybody likes meat. It's a high protein. You know, game meat is still healthy. And, you know, we have some of the best in the business. And you know, and also we can just turn it into mints. We can, you know, we have those capabilities, having an abattoir, having a drying room, having the distribution capabilities. We just need to make sure that the capital is still going through the system so that we can provide these products.
Brendan, what about the retailers? There's often criticism that the big guys, Pick and Pay, Checkers, and so on, extend or don't actually pay until they've pretty much sold the product that's on their shelves. Is there not a role to be played by them as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Just quicker payment terms. I mean, we love working with Clicks, but if you look at our cash conversion cycle with Clicks, it's over 100 days. You know, by the time we buy the meat, we make it, we drop it off the DC, and that's when, you know, 60 or 90 days starts going on. You know, right now on the plus side, I think, you know, Spar, we have good relationships with them. We've been able to discuss terms with them, you know, pay as quickly as they can, and they've been all right with it. So they do play a major role. Again, sometimes these organizations, when they are larger, bureaucratic, top down, it's hard to ask, hey, can you pay me, you know, 10 days sooner than you'd expected? Or can you, you know, can we not do the back end payment terms at this point? Let's just focus on getting the shelves full. So they absolutely have a role to play. But I think that's even a level up. It's going to be the, you know, the bulk breakers that buy from a macro and bring to a spaza shop. You know, that's where I think it's going to start. So it'll be, you know, our distribution customer, you know, the people that run the trucks from here to Cape Town, they're going to be the first ones to say, you know, we need payment up front. And that'll cycle through the system. So it really is, you know, I think you're right to talk about the major retailers. They have a role to play. But this is a bottom-up solution, and it's getting it to the SMEs as quickly as possible. Because then I trust them. I mean, these are entrepreneurs. These are traders. They know what to do with their working capital. This is not going to go anywhere but for keeping the wheels in motion.
But how do you physically get it there? And I ask this because surely, if there were a compact amongst the retailers, instead of paying 100 days, they pay everything 15 days because it is a crisis. That would put a lot of cash into the system. And they themselves can be supported in that perhaps by the banks who would extend facilities for them. So it would be more of a top up, because to get the cash into the hands of smaller businesses the other way around sounds like it's going to be quite a challenge.
I agree. So I think that's a fantastic top-down solution. I think the other one is invoice discounting, is credit lines, is, you know, lines of credit done quickly, guaranteed for 12 months that are cheaper. And you know, these businesses already have them. You know, I'm talking about the more formal, you know, that are doing, you know, anywhere from 5 to 50 million rand a year. The informal markets, I don't have a solution for that, unfortunately. And that's not where we play. So I don't have the expertise either, though I think, you know, no less important, if not even more so. But yes, I think any kind of major corporate that can pay upfront, that can tighten that cash conversion cycle, that will keep this economy going, you know, keep our supply chain secure and keep our shelves full.
And perhaps that's the answer that should be discussed in this public-private partnership. Just get the big guys to start paying their accounts sooner, and it'll make sure that the credit doesn't freeze in the way that it has. That was Brendan Mullen, and he is with Secha Capital.